We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
GMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Let me ask you this.
We are turning these clocks backward. I'm convinced these are 7-hour shifts.
Come on, Ray. We're doing the butcher shop tonight too. We're going till 10. All right.
We got food coming.
No, we're doing it. We're doing it. Knuckles is coming, the whole thing. It's gonna be great. Let me ask you this. Since you've made it clear to the whole world, if you're Daryl Morey, that you're chasing the Golden State Warriors and that's been your mission, and you've been close-ish, right? I mean, 6 games last year. We all know the Warriors are a better team. 7 games the year before, you had a 3-2 games, you know, series lead. Like, that's pretty damn close. So now the Golden State Warriors are vulnerable for the first time in half a decade. Now is when you're going to make all these changes to your lineup? Like, big, massive changes. It seems like if ever there was a year for a team to run it back and tinker and not make wholesale changes the way that they have, it would be this Rockets team this year.
No, but they have been a team that always makes radical changes. I mean, they always reinvent themselves to do something else.
But wouldn't this be the worst year to do it, though?
Why? There's still teams to chase.
Well, I understand that. But
Warriors don't matter to them this year. They're not relevant.
Finally, that's my point.
No, but what? So then you don't have to do anything comparable to them. They may as well be Sacramento. The point is, Houston is trying to get ahead of a trend of diminishing the center by not using one at all. It's that sort of extreme response to a slow but constant drumbeat.
I think this point you've made a couple times now about, well, Houston, but really it's Daryl Morey's extreme responses to trends. Well, first of all, I understand what he's trying to do in getting ahead of things. I just don't think it's worked great for him because he's gone a little too far. And I honestly think if we're talking about really what's best for your team doing well on the floor, that's the best argument for moving on from Daryl Morey is, look, we actually have a lot of talent here. Maybe we need to quit it with the gimmicks and just see if we can't get someone to win with the talent we have by building around it in a more traditional way.
I don't think it's a matter of tradition, though. I think it's a matter of this doesn't work, so it's got to be changed. Rather than, I mean, the fact is they've been the toughest out for the Warriors. They've been a tough out against just about everybody. They're really, really good. But because they fail, they change who they are. Then they fail again. They change who they are again. I mean, they've been a sort of an almost constant state of turmoil, at least on some elemental way. And I think that, as much as anything, you know, is why this decade will not be remembered as a decade when Houston was really powerful, because they gave the Warriors all they could eat in at least two series, but the response to not winning those has always been sort of over dramatic. It's like, I really believe in this. Oh my God, it didn't work this time. I don't trust it anymore. And I think there's a level of sort of, you know, hypermania about what Morey does, whatever it is. Because I think he really is a brilliant guy, but I think he tends to overthink everything by about 30%.
I think this is the best example of it, too, that clearly centers are devalued. But it's one thing to say it's a fungible position that we can always find a guy to fill it, that we don't have to spend money on it, we don't have to draft it highly.
Yeah.
It's a totally different thing to say, no, let's just not have anybody on the roster over 6'8".
Yeah, let's not carry one anymore.
Yeah, because it's just, like, there's just no doubt in my mind you have a better chance of beating Denver and L.A., certainly the Lakers, with Clint Capella than without. Period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that move didn't make any sense to me.
I And I've heard people say that, well, it was partly that Capella's been hurt and his health situation. Okay, but then add but somebody.
Yeah, he didn't replace
He didn't replace
Capella
it.
With anything sort of comparable.
You erased the position off of your grease board.
Yeah, and I understand the appeal of that, but I think Ray's right on it. It's reading the room well and then stepping 30% too far in your reaction.
All right, next up on this list, guys. By the way, Warriors basketball will be on 95.7 The Game tonight against those Houston Rockets. So definitely watch how the Houston Rockets play basketball without a center. Actually, listen to how the Houston Rockets play basketball without a center because you'll be listening to 95.7
The Game.
They'll
do fine tonight.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, this is not the,
this isn't the team they're worried
the
about.
The litmus test for this system doesn't happen until April.
Absolutely.
I have a question for you guys.
They're going to be the five seed no matter what.
Actually, it's Lucas's question.
Well, then I don't want to hear it.
Okay, so anyway.
If you were an NBA basketball player,
yep.
Which I know is an easy place for both of you guys to put your minds, would you rather play with James Harden or Russell Westbrook?
Wow. Probably Westbrook.
Really? Why?
I think he's a better passer. I'm trying to get my touches in.
Okay. Ray?
And KD showed he could make it work with Westbrook for a while.
Kinda.
But Harden has also had teammates who were devoted to him.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the real issue. I think it's a false choice because either way you end up not getting what you want.
I think you're right. And I think I would choose Harden if I had to. Purely on personality.
Yeah.
I think
Well, James Harden doesn't strike me as Mr. Congeniality either.
No, but he strikes me as like, I'll just keep to myself and, you know, play some video games on this plane flight as opposed to like scream in the aisles about who's respecting me enough.
Also, just don't steal a rebound from Russ. You'll be good.
Right. That's the other thing. Like, I'm not worried my point guard might get mad if I screw up his triple-double, you know?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe upon further review, I'm rolling with Harden. I just have found Harden to be kind of a crybaby.
No, but I mean, look, on the floor, you're kind of dealing with the same thing. A guy who wants the ball all the time, who's incredibly talented at scoring the ball, and who will pass to you, but only after dribbling for 15 seconds. So you've been standing in the corner for 15 seconds before you get it.
And if he gives it up to you and you don't get the shot off or you don't make the shot, pissed. He's going to be like, this is why I don't pass to you.
Exactly.
Right. But you gave me 2 seconds, James.
Yeah. Like, no, it's a tough
spot.
Why'd you
stand there and dribble for so long?
Even the guys who have been devoted to those dudes, if you gave them truth serum and pressed them, would tell you it's a tough job.
Yeah, and they're making a lot of money. Like,
that's
they're
right.
A professional basketball player, and you get to play hoop for a living.
Stop with that.
No, it's my opinion,
no, but
so
it's
I won't
not,
stop
but it's
with my opinion.
It's not relevant to this discussion.
Well, it should make things
easier. It's relevant to me because it's my opinion, and it'll always be relevant to me because it's
saying,
my opinion.
No, but if we're talking about—
It's just not relevant to you.
No, it's not relevant to basketball players.
Okay, but again, I don't need my opinion to be relevant to a basketball player. It only has to be relevant
but
to me.
This is an unimportant debate.
Never mind. Fair enough.
I retract what I said.
Thank you.
You're a genius.
But
no, I'm not a genius.
But you were saying something.
No, the real issue here is that it's difficult to play with LeBron James. It was on occasion difficult to play with Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult to play with alpha males of any kind. It was surely difficult to play with Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But you sublimate your ego if you know there's a reward at the end. And the fact is, there hasn't been a reward at the end with Harden or Westbrook, so their reputations take a beating. Like, who would want to play with those guys?
Does it just take one, just one title, and that kind of goes away?
I think it probably would.
I think that's somewhat right. I do think there's a difference in terms of when we talk about, man, it can be tough to play with LeBron or Jordan, as opposed to when we talk about it could be tough to play with a player like Harden or Westbrook.
We hold them in a higher esteem, a certain reverence, because they're champions. It's like, yeah, because there's always that disclaimer of, but they're champions, they get the job done.
It's not just that, though. It's the game. It's the way they actually play the game, right? Like, Michael Jordan was tough on his teammates emotionally. He demanded greatness sometimes from guys who weren't capable of it, right? He was a difficult human being, but I don't think he made the game harder for his teammates. I would say the same about LeBron. The spotlight that's on him can be difficult for people around him. The fact that no matter what happens to your team, it's all going to be interpreted as a judgment on LeBron, and like your efforts are not going to be counted that well.
My legacy is the only one that matters here.
That's
right?
That's got to be difficult in ways, and he too, I think, is demanding of teammates, but he also does put them in really good situations frequently.
Yeah, because he can ultimately point to a box score or a whiteboard or a video and go, that's why we do this the way we do it.
Yeah.
And it's the answer that satisfies, because there are rings and things.
Yeah, 510 on the Chilton Autobite text line. Kobe definitely in that discussion too, of guys that demanded excellence from their teammates, and sometimes they weren't always able to give the excellence to the level that, you know, they would demand.
But you know what? Kobe is a great case here, because when Kobe was playing, for lack of a better term, Harden Westbrook-ish basketball, it didn't work.
You're right.
Kobe's best success came when he was willing to share a little bit, when he was willing to say, yes, I am the best, but also if I don't help these guys succeed, we're not going anywhere.
Or more to the point, he was at his best when he had Shaq and then when he had Gasol.
And
he had
Odom.
Guys to play off of him.
Right, but I think this is sort of my point. When he had guys to play off of him, he played off of them. Harden and Westbrook have both had the opportunity, and I have yet to see either of them sacrifice in any way or make concessions in any way to play with and off of the players around them. And that, to me, is what's different. More just, certainly the rings make a difference. But on top of that, I think play style comes into play here. Said play too many times.
That's all right. Kid and play. Awesome haircut back in the day.
House party.
No doubt,
one,
baby.
Two, and three.
Wow, there was a third one?
I think so.
My goodness. All right, 888-957-9570. We will continue the NBA conversation with Tim Bontemps, bottom of the hour. At 5 o'clock, Andrew Brandt's going to join us, former VP of the Packers, Monday morning quarterback columnist. We'll talk about the ongoing negotiations in the NFL for a new collective bargaining agreement. So we got a lot to get to in the final hour and 45 minutes right here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
I just don't even feel right talking over the Pac beat. I just don't.
Do you know what Nash said to me on my way into the studio for this segment?
I can't imagine.
He said, get in there. I got a song you've never heard before.
I actually told Covey the same exact thing.
Oh, you dropped that same trash-ass joke on him that you dropped on me?
Well, we really know Ray is the only one in here that listens to Pac, so it's evident.
Obviously.
Obviously. West Coast.
Actually, West Side.
West Side.
Yeah. Ray, do you have any hip-hop CDs or anything at the house? Do you have CDs at the house at all anymore? You got any CDs anymore? Are you full digital?
I have CDs that...
You still
were useful when they were, when it was a CD powered music world.
Yeah.
I just haven't chosen to throw them out.
You know what I can't bring myself to do? Throw away my DVDs. I've got hundreds of DVDs and I've thrown away my CDs. I've gotten rid of those.
Yeah.
I can't do it with the DVDs.
Same. Is that because you acquired a lot of movies on DVDs that might not have been purchased from standard sources that you want to retain access to?
I mean, I've burned a few DVDs over the years.
That's where I'm at.
I've got a few bootleg DVDs around the way.
Yeah. Also, I am not. This is such a. I am such an old man.
You're the youngest guy in the room. I want to point that out. But go ahead.
But that doesn't change who I am at heart, which is a very old man. I like to have things. I'm
you
not
like to have stuff.
Yes. Like I am not a. I don't do the music subscription stuff.
Neither do I, because I have the internet.
Do you still have downloading apps?
No.
Do you still have a Walkman? What about a Walkman?
I buy CDs that I want to hear, and then I own the MP3s on my own hard drive. That's what I like to do. I like to own the digital music, not listen to it from Spotify or Apple
or
whatever.
$5 a month will get you every song in the
world. It's not about that. It's about two things. Number one, I just want to have it. And number two, when our entire world collapses, I'll still have my music and you guys will be sitting in silence.
Or we'll all be dead.
Not me. I plan to live and listen to the music that I want to listen to forever.
My dad for Christmas gave me his password to his Amazon Music. Game changer. Because he had like the kind of account where you could have like eight people on your account.
Mm-hmm.
Total game changer. My goodness.
Look, I mean, that you know.
Sounds like a re-gift type of gift.
What?
Re-gift?
That was your gift?
Yeah.
He shared.
He already had it though.
925.
Still an awesome gift.
925 texter said, are you talking about your porn collection?
No,
that I do have digitally.
925 says, take those DVDs to Rasputin's. Yeah, so I can get 45 cents
yeah, man.
For 200 DVDs.
Hey, that Face-Off DVD is worth like $1.50.
Yeah, dude, you can't have my Miracle DVD, okay? You can't have my Superbad DVD. You definitely can't have my Pulp Fiction DVD.
I want to take his face off.
That movie is awful.
What?
Yeah, and everybody loves it. It's awful.
It is literally a classic.
Yeah. You know, it's but it's not.
A classic film. John Woo.
Yeah. What's your favorite movie of all time, Ray? Nash wants to know. I'm just curious.
I don't care what Nash wants to know, okay. And I'm pretty sure that nobody in the audience wants to know either.
I disagree.
Yeah. 100% disagree.
Yeah. This is
not a democracy on this.
You're right about that.
Let's do something people want to hear.
I think they want to know what you like.
Would you be comfortable sharing a favorite movie of yours? What's just a movie you like?
I've chosen not to.
All right.
Okay, too personal? We're not there yet?
No, it's just I don't think anybody gives a damn about what my favorite anything is.
I think now it's more awkward that you're guarding it so much.
Yeah, okay, well, deal with it.
Noted. Okay. Great. We'll see y'all soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're interrupting my ability to watch the Sharks here.
My bad. Sharks scoreless, and they're trading
sounds
players.
Right.
Yeah, last we heard. No, sounds right would be Martin Jones has given up three already. Oh. Two through the five hole. Been awful this year. My goodness.
He's been better of late.
By the way, Chilton Autobody text line, they're coming in hot. 510, I want to know, Ray. Different one from 510. Billions want to know, Ray. 650, 100% want to know. 415, tell us, Ray.
I want to know more
it's
favorite
just coming
Ray things.
In. 408, Ray's favorite food. 415, we want to know, Ray, from the driver. 925, I want to know. 510, what's Ray's favorite weed?
Ray, your mistake was...
like this.
My mistake was allowing this to begin.
Ray, look at the Chilton Autobody text line. It's going crazy right
now. I'm never going to look at the text line.
We got a better chance of him telling us his favorite movie than looking at the sex line.
The sex line?
I'm sorry. I just read the text that says, what is Ray's favorite sex position? So I crossed it up in my head.
Ray, you could end the madness right now. Just share, just pick a
movie. 925.
No, you could end the madness by changing the subject.
There's a 925 texter.
It's a sports show.
Who already knows Ray loves Chernobyl.
Oh, really?
The show.
All right. Well, I like the musical.
Ray's favorite stage performance is Springtime for Hitler.
Okay, favorite sports movie then. It's a sports show.
Stop!
It's a sports show! You said sports!
I am not doing this.
I'm trying to bring it back to sports. Favorite sports movie.
Look, I've beaten down Steinmetz on similar stuff.
What's Ray's favorite sausage?
A 925 texter wants to know, has Ray ever hiked Mount Kilimanjaro? I have.
So has my dad.
Nice.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. He's climbed it with stage four lymphoma. Did you?
I did not.
Okay,
your dad is way more impressive than me.
Thank you. I just wanted you to acknowledge that.
That's spectacular because climbing Kilimanjaro, while it's not Everest, you know, there's really no rock climbing per se.
No.
It's a really tough hike, especially the last couple days. And that's kudos to Papa Covey. That's
Robert.
Wildly impressive.
Well Ray, done, Bob.
It's also an incredible.
He hates when people call Bob.
It's just an incredible thing to do. Obviously, if you ever have the chance, Kilimanjaro is a freestanding mountain, which it's not part of a mountain range. So when you get up there,
it's everything.
It's the whole world. It feels like is stretched out around you. It's truly
when'd you do that?
Incredible. I was in college.
Wow. So my dad went to Kilimanjaro in 2013, climbed Kilimanjaro. When he got home, like a couple of days later, that's when he started to not feel well. You remember, I was working with you at the time. And he obviously ended up in the hospital. They thought he caught dengue fever. They thought maybe he had pneumonia. Turns out he had lymphoma, stage four. And they said he was on his way out. Turns out he wasn't because he's a badass. He fought back. Nice try, cancer. And he went back after doing a bunch of fundraising for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, went back and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro again a couple years ago, did a story on him in the paper, no big deal. Pops is my hero.
But he returned the cancer from whence it came.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Sharks have officially scored, Ray, and they're scrapping.
Ooh, fights.
Ooh, Middleton, he's big. Anyway, the Chilton Albright text line is asking great questions, Ray.
And I'm not answering any of them, so let's move on.
Between these two Kilimanjaro stories, which one was your favorite? 510 wants to know.
I've already expressed an opinion on the only one I care about, which is your dad.
Thanks, Ray. All right, fair enough. All right.
I think it's clear which is his favorite.
And I didn't mean to do the one-up, but anytime Kilimanjaro comes up, I got to rep in the paint for my pops hard.
That is...
Hard like Nash.
That is
but not that hard.
That there is nothing wrong with that. I willingly cede the greatness of our respective Kilimanjaro stories to your father.
All right, we do have...
Way to go, Bob.
He hates Bob, but he said...
He's
when,
not here. What's he going to do about it?
Telemarketers used to call the house, and if they, he told me when I was a kid, if they asked for Bob Covey, just hang up.
Yeah.
Because they don't know me.
That's good. I like that. That's a good strategy.
All right, get on over to Twitter, to the @DRK957 Twitter page. That's the Damon Ratto and Kolsky Twitter page. On the poll right now...
DRK, which is short for dork.
Fair enough.
I'm interested in this poll. What's the poll?
The poll question.
Put it on the poll.
Do you want to know @RattoIndy's favorite movie?
Ray, oh, no.
If it's 80%, if it's more than 80%, will you tell us at the end of the show what your favorite movie is? Oh, I'm not 80%.
Absolutely not.
80% is 4 out of 5.
Don't care.
What if it's 100?
What if it's 100?
Nope, that's not enough.
You wouldn't even do it if it was 100?
Nope.
Wow. What if I made a donation to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society?
Would you do it anyway? Then? Well, why would you put conditions on an act of kindness? Dad survived it. You should be handing out money to that every day.
Taking a lesson
Don't
from the NBA.
Don't put conditions on your charity.
Okay, I'm just trying to think of what we could come up with that would implore you to tell us. That's all. Just curious. No problem.
No, it's clearly a problem. We've spent 8 minutes on this.
We're not getting any answers, but shout out to everybody who sent in a question, because these are spectacular. Yeah. If nothing else, Ryan and I are getting a laugh out of it.
Has Ray ever lifted a weight for exercise? Hell yeah, he has. Boxers or briefs from the 925? I'm in on that. I'm a big boxers guy, and I'm pretty particular about the kind of draws that I wear. 90% polyester, 90% spandex, 10% polyester. That's the perfect blend. And, you know, Stacey Adams.
So you're
Adams,
going boxer briefs.
Yeah. And yeah, Stacey Adams, known for their shoe-making acumen in their, you know, their clothing. Great boxers.
Huh.
Terrific. I'll only rock one pair of boxers. Stacey Adams boxers.
To be clear, 90-10. Multiple pairs of the one brand.
Well, yeah, I got like two pairs. Kidding. Yes, I have multiple pairs, and I actually just restocked the because they're usually like $20 a pair.
That's expensive.
Yeah, but I just found some half price, so they were $10 a pair. So I stocked up, baby.
That's big.
7 new pairs.
Wow.
In flux this week.
Wow, you got a nice color variety.
Oh, are you moving me on, Lucas?
Any patterns?
Something we've learned, I think, from the segment is people care about Ray's habits.
Oh, there's also something else you learned.
Ray doesn't care about people. Yeah, Ray doesn't care if you care.
That's not a lesson. We knew that.
All right. Tim Bontemps is going to join us. He's in Philly for Nets Sixers tonight. Some breaking news in the NBA. Kyrie Irving done for the year. He had shoulder surgery today, right, Matt?
I don't know if the surgery is today.
Imminent, but yeah, he's out for the year. Ben Simmons is out tonight as well. Even $10 a pair is ridiculous, Ryan. Well, hey, man, you can't put a price tag on comfort. I'll tell you that right now.
It's the truth.
It does, and we talked to earlier on today. We talked to Howard Beck from the Bleacher Report about this, and I think it will be fascinating, Matt. The Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Nets dynamic next year, and how all that's going to change. And even in that 20 game sample size, as you mentioned, like Kyrie, even in that 1/4 of a regular season, still managed to alienate some of his teammates.
Yeah, and Howard was right, I think, said it right, that I'm not sure we've learned anything about Kyrie, because we kind of knew this was who he is. And I think what remains to be seen, and this doesn't mean that Kyrie won't still shake things up, but what remains to be seen is when Durant is back, does it really become more Kevin Durant's team? So that Kyrie is still a goof,
But we never, when he was second banana in Cleveland talking about the world's flat, it was just like a fun story.
Oh, that Kyrie. He's right? So zany.
Exactly. And I think that is that's a harder territory to live in when you're the best player on the team. Like, that's just Kyrie being Kyrie. He's going to say weird stuff. Because people read so much more into what you say when you are the alpha dog on the team in the perception of the public. So sure. I do wonder if Kevin Durant showing up, and I think we can probably surmise he'll demand to be the alpha dog when he is healthy. I think that could benefit Kyrie a lot, actually. Which is funny, because the way we got here was Kyrie wanting to be the leader of his own team.
Right, and made that abundantly clear and basically forced his way out of Cleveland.
And that ultimately is why you cannot stack player talents like they're Legos. If you don't get along with each other philosophically as players, you have no chance. I mean, it's as simple as that. If Klay Thompson were a more acquisitive shooter, and if Stephen Curry were more defensive about his place at the top of the hierarchy, the Warriors would have exactly zero rings.
Well, they might have one, but they certainly would never have gotten Kevin Durant here.
I'm not convinced they would have had the first one.
Maybe not.
I mean, they were the classic example of an ensemble team where everybody understood how everything moved and how everybody got their turn. But if you're counting your turns,
right,
you can't win. It never happens.
Yeah, there has to be a willingness to defer to the greater good, basically across the board. And, you know, dare I quote the great Dwayne Johnson, know your role. Like, everybody's got to know their role. Absolutely. And be comfortable that, not just know it, like, relish it, right? Like, take pride in it, whatever that role is.
I mean, there's a reason why Bill Russell has 11 rings and Wilt Chamberlain got two. Nobody in their right mind would say that Chamberlain is not by far the better player. But Russell fit better with the players around him and with the coach so that they all got to stay for a lot of years and they all got to cash a lot of checks.
Yeah. By the way, Tim Bontemps is not going to be able to join us today. He's going to join us tomorrow, I guess, Lucas. So, yeah, I just wanted to
too late.
Bring everybody up to speed. The Chilton Autobody text line has been giving just one piece of gold after another, and we do appreciate everybody's participation in the show today. I do want to get into this conversation because this goes back to the Tim Bontemps piece, some of the things to look for down the stretch and some things that could potentially change the NBA. LeBron James. Going to be 36 next year.
LeBron James. I thought I had that on my soundboard. I don't seem to.
Good.
Ray hates sound.
How many more years of optimal LeBron James do we have, do you think? And I'm talking like the dude that you can put it on his shoulders and he could carry a team in the fourth quarter of a do-or-die playoff game and get the job done.
I mean, I think an easy way to put it is a guy who can decide, I think I'll lead the league in assists this year and be 1.5 assists above the number two guy in the league.
That's a perfect way to describe it, Matt Kolsky. It's like you talk for a living.
And I don't, three
years?
I don't think so.
Two?
Here's the thing.
Or five.
My instinct is like one. But I've watched Tom Brady, and I look at LeBron, and if anyone can conquer Father Time, it's this guy.
It kind of goes back to the Tom Brady thing where I thought Tom Brady should have been aging out about 4 or 5 years ago, like right around the time the Patriots selected Jimmy Garoppolo and thought, okay, so this is going to work out perfect. Tom will be getting ready to retire. Jimmy will be getting ready to take over, and he's going to play till he's 70.
That's what the Patriots thought. And I think, look, I think you can certainly look at this last year and see clear decline in the play and just the general abilities of Tom Brady. Maybe if you squint, you could even see it last year. But through age 40, you really couldn't see it at all. I mean, his age 40 season, he threw for over 4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and where is it? A quarterback rating of 103 on the season. And then I believe won a Super Bowl, right? Or no, that's when he lost the Super Bowl to Philly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either way, played in a Super Bowl.
Sure.
So
made it to the Super Bowl.
And not to make this a Tom Brady segment, but that's the thing with LeBron James and the way he has been able to play this year. Like the fact that he has been able to ease off the gas a little bit from a responsibility standpoint, distribute, let Anthony Davis be in many ways the star of the team,
sure,
at least from a scoring perspective. Don't for a second think LeBron James is not the most important and you know, key player on this team, and don't for a second think that when we get into the postseason, he's not going to ratchet it up a notch in terms of being a finisher. But the fact that he got kind of a year off last year, that he's able to take more of a backseat during the regular season, maybe this could go on for another 3 or 4 years. Maybe, well, it could.
And I think it's important to note, Tate, that he's shown that willingness, too, to let a guy like Anthony Davis do the kind of the proverbial heavy lifting where save your strength. Now, you know, you got that old man strength, but you only got it in bursts, right? You can't do it for 82 games, but you could do it for 16,
yep,
like in May.
It's the Draymond thing, right? LeBron James, for most of his career, outside of kind of the 4 years in Miami, although he was trying to establish himself as the king of that team for some of that, but certainly all his time in Cleveland, that was never an opportunity that he had. He had to be the man all the time to get his team there.
Just to get to back to the finals every year.
Yeah.
And especially to be competitive in those finals against the Warriors. He literally did it all.
Yeah.
Well, the 15 series for sure. And because he was also playing hurt.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. No, it's he enhanced his reputation in defeat that year.
Without question. I was at those games at Oracle.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable to watch.
Just watching that, you're like, my God, this dude seriously might do this. And
that was when I came around to the idea that it didn't make a ton of sense to elevate Michael Jordan over LeBron James. Certainly not by much. Like, going into that, even after that's the first finals, the Warriors...
One, Cavs, yeah. And Cavs were up 2-1 in that series.
And Kyrie and Love were
both hurt,
almost non-existent for the entire series. They each played a little, I want to say, or maybe Love didn't play at all.
Kyrie got hurt at the end of game one. I want to say, yeah.
Right. So to me, the way he played in that series, I don't know that you can convincingly say anyone was ever much better than this guy. I mean, I still probably take Jordan on the balance if you make me choose, but what he's been able to do by himself is wildly impressive. And now that he really, I mean, I think you could make an argument that at this stage, he might be the second best player on his team. That's why I picked the Lakers to win, even though they don't have a ton of depth. That's why I still kind of feel that way. It's unbelievable.
He has learned that there is no shame in deferring. Mm-hmm. In February. I mean, that's what we know. And look, I think it was important to him to be able to be a rainmaker on a franchise that, while a marquee name, had fallen on hard times due largely to front office incompetence.
The worst times in their history.
Yeah, he literally saved Jeannie Buss in that town. And to a certain extent, until it blew up again, Magic Johnson.
Yep.
I mean, that was in and of itself a triumph. And he is a guy who plays at bigger stakes anyway. I mean, he doesn't need another ring, but he'd like to have one as a Laker. And if they win this year, it would not completely shock me if he just said, yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
It would surprise me only because of this sort of carrot that's always been out there about playing with his son.
That's what I was going to ask. Bronny's 15. 15. So could see him.
Okay.
What, 4 years?
I think he's a sophomore, right? Or is he a freshman?
He's a freshman.
Yeah.
So we could see him in 3 years.
Does anybody honestly think that this guy is going to be playing when he's 40?
I don't. Potentially, he's LeBron James.
At some point, even LeBron James stops being LeBron James.
Well, he wouldn't be LeBron James anymore, but Vince Carter's playing at 42 or something, right?
Michael Jordan played with the Wizards.
At 40.
Yeah. I mean, and there's really two kind of, like, for iconic athletes, you know, we see this go one of two ways. Either they will go out on top, you know, like a Barry Sanders type. It's like, hey, this is as good as I'm ever going to be. And there were other circumstances there. I understand that.
Pretty much every good Detroit Lion in the last 20 years.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson, sure.
Barry Sanders quit because he got tired of the Lions around him being terrible.
That's right. And arguably same for Calvin Johnson.
Sure. Yeah. But
I think LeBron James, though, is more mindful of his legacy, and I don't think he wants to just hang on at 40. I think he will know when it's time. And that time, if things go right for them in June, could be now. Go out on top, you know. Even Jordan didn't do that.
This is a bit of a weird comp. But in a way, I agree, Ray. I don't, it's hard for me to imagine him like hanging on, trying to still be LeBron. But I kind of can picture him aging into a Scottie Pippen in Portland phase of his career, where instead of 35 to 38 minutes, he's playing 25 to 28, and he's an awesome facilitator, and he makes the team better just by being there and being around, and he's a positive influence, a great distributor. Like, he, if he wants to, he could be a 6'9 point guard until he's 45. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll want to do that. But if it means spending a year playing with his kid, obviously no one's ever done that in the NBA before. It would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and that could be the one carrot dangling in front of him. And LeBron, it strikes me as the kind of guy that, when it's all said and done, really wants to have a lot of things on his resume that nobody else has ever done. Right?
I also think, though, that he also wants to be an entertainment mogul.
That's, yeah, yeah.
And
life after basketball
is waiting. It's largely the reason why he went to L.A., and I think, in a weird way, Kobe was on that track.
Oh, 100%.
And then died. And I think LeBron either wants to pick up that mantle or improve on it.
Yeah.
And I think that you don't hang on and put that off when you think your creativity is at its height.
I think that, to me, is the most salient argument for why he might be willing to step away sooner than we would otherwise imagine. Is it's been very clear for some time that he has big plans for life after basketball, and he may feel like it's time to start that, regardless of where his basketball's at.
And then I think he's played at bigger stakes since he won in Miami.
Maybe.
Well, and keep in mind too, he could always pull the Jordan and the 925 points is out. Braun will come out of retirement to play one season with his son. He could always do that too.
That's true.
Hang it up for a few years and then say, hey, guess what? I'm LeBron James and I can still do this, and I'm going to remind y'all next year when I come back to play with Bronny. All right. Andrew Brandt's going to join us at the top of the hour. Plenty to get to in the final hour and 20 here on Damon Radonkolski. Ryan Covey sitting in for Damon. We'll get into a little NFL conversation about the CBA. Plus, I want to talk a little bit about the 49ers offseason and some free agents that they are going to be looking at possibly retaining. So we'll get into that and more. Andrew Brandt coming up. In the meantime, this segment sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromise.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're going to talk to Andrew Brandt in just a few minutes about some of the proposed changes to the NFL in the new CBA. Adam Schefter broke the news yesterday. I do want to know, Ray, and I don't think Andrew Brandt will have the answer to this for us at the top of the hour, but this is something I do want answered. With 17 home games, clearly that paves the way to, or 17 game schedule, and obviously that paves the way to one day have an 18 game schedule. But when the schedule is 17 games, somebody's going to have 9 home games a year. Somebody's going to have 8. I've had a lot of texts today about, well, the 17th game, that 9th game, whatever, would be a neutral site game, which I don't think that that's happening.
I haven't seen that anywhere in terms of actual reporting.
Right.
And it also doesn't make any sense. I think the only way you can do it, if you're trying to pursue fairness, is have that 17th game and have every team in one conference play on the road 1 year, an extra game, and play at home the next year. And the only way you can do that is if you have a week carved out for nothing but intra-conference games. So 1 year,
the AFC plays the NFC on the road. The next year, the NFC plays the AFC on the road.
I think that's the only way you can do it fairly, but I don't think that's a difficult task. I mean, it's just logistics, and the NFL, for all its satanic ways, is good at logistics.
5-0, the Raiders will have 17 away games? Probably. Well, if you're looking for him to play in Oakland these days, absolutely, they'll have 17 away games.
That's right. Oakland Raiders will be playing away games for the foreseeable future.
Without question. Yeah, I guess that would be the one way to solve it. And that's where you do have the surplus. And I guess that's where it would be the easiest way for the schedule to absorb it and still maintain kind of whatever you want to call it, the balance of the way that they do the schedule with the rotating divisions that you play every year. And then your last two games that are left over, you play the other two teams, the other two divisions within your conference of where the teams finished in the same place as you did, right? You know, like the Niners will play the first place schedule this year. So right. They'll play the Saints, the Packers, and the Eagles for sure.
Out of division,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess you could have that over in the AFC. And so if you're playing the AFC East this year, then maybe you throw in a random AFC West team.
415 text, or whoever wins the Pro Bowl gets more home games.
These games do matter.
Let's steal Bud Selig's ideas.
Oh, my God. Please, no. That's pretty funny, though. But, yeah, that's awful.
This is totally random, but have you guys seen the photographs of Shohei Ohtani that are making the rounds today?
I have not.
I have.
Shohei Ohtani, I don't know how to describe it other than calling it a Brady Anderson-esque size increase might be a little unfair to Shohei, but he went from random dude on the street to cut out of granite in the space of about a year and a half.
He went David Boston on us?
A little David Boston. Yeah, it's shocking, and part of it might be the way some of these pictures are done. Look at this tweet right here. But his arms, his shoulders in particular, have swollen to the size of his head.
Wow. Yeah, Shohei got after the off-season conditioning program a little bit.
Joe Maddon is quoted as saying, hey, man, this guy's the baseball version of a gym rat. Which is just, man, I can't cast any aspersions on Shohei Ohtani. I have no idea what his off-season workout program is. All I know is the sort of comments you're getting from looking at him are the sort of comments we heard a lot between like 1994 and 2002.
Right. Well, what happened to him this offseason?
Well, the other interesting thing is they clearly aren't thinking of him as a pitcher.
No.
I mean, it's just
they've said he won't pitch for like the first half of the year.
Yeah, but I mean, even after that, it seems to me if he's bulked up like that,
yeah,
he's changed a lot of things about his sort of superstructure that don't bode well for pitchers.
If you had
pitchers aren't cut like that.
No, that's true.
Ray, if you had the opportunity, if you had a player X, an Ohtani type that was projected to be a powerful hitter or a dominant pitcher, and you could choose his path to be more valuable to a franchise, which way would you lead him? Which road would you lead him?
Well,
power hitter.
I'd lead him toward being a hitter because that's 130 more days I could conceivably use him.
I believe that question was answered in 1919 when Babe Ruth became a full-time hitter for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because he was on his way to being a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Right, and Ohtani is not a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Right.
He's good.
I do feel like there's more great hitters in baseball, though, than there are great pitchers, is why I ask. I feel like great, but that's what I said. Like, I feel like great pitching is at a premium in Major League Baseball, whereas great hitting, you can find it. You can find good hitting. Right?
I think that's
plus,
right.
Plus, I don't think he's as good as Dylan Bundy.
Well, the problem with the Angels is like they could use either one. They could really use a good hitter or a good pitcher. But what he's done as a hitter, granted in about 100 games each of his 2 years, I think is more impressive than anything we saw from him as a pitcher, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But it was purely a curiosity
totally.
Exercise.
One thing that's interesting, though, is when they signed him, they paid him like both. And I think a lot of people told him at the time, this is not a great long-term solution to try to have a guy be one of your best pitchers and also one of your best hitters. And I think, as it turns out, the people who said that were right.
Yeah, probably asking just a little too much from Shohei Ohtani.
On the other hand, that's what made him so marketable.
It is.
So, even if you abandon him as a pitcher today and forever, the Angels will still do that deal at that price.
Maybe, because way more people know who he is than would if he was just a hitter.
No, but it's more than that. It's It's the time in which you have to go after the guy. Timing literally is everything.
Right.
And he was the hottest name on the market when they went after him.
By the way, just wanted to get to this piece of news before Andrew Brandt joins us at the top of the hour. The NFL Players Association, this is per Mike Florio, the NFL Players Association not pushing back on the possibility of a unilateral implementation of an expanded postseason yet.
Here's what's crazy about this short post that Mike Florio wrote is the second paragraph. Under federal labor law, certain employment terms require negotiation between management and labor. Adding a pair of playoff games would seem to fall within the so-called mandatory subjects of bargaining.
That's what you inquired about specifically earlier.
That should end the conversation as far as I'm concerned, because the league can say, we're adding these playoff games whether you like it or not, and the union should be able to say, no, you're not, because you're not legally allowed to. End of conversation.
Yeah, but he didn't say that with certitude, and he is a lawyer, so he's not sure either.
Right.
I mean, the point is, I still think, you know, the owners are running a bluff here to see if the union will blink. And the fact the union hasn't responded at all just tells me that their lawyers are looking into this. And
right.
they don't have to rush out and have a response. I mean, they can do it tomorrow, they can do it Monday, they can do it in 3 weeks.
Right. They can do it any time before the season, really.
Yeah.
So I expect that's where this will go. Like, as much as we've talked about how weak the NFL Players Union is and how they have trouble standing together, like, I would think they at least have the wherewithal to reject unilateral orders from a group of people that are not legally allowed to do that. Because if they can't at least push back on this, like, literally, what is the union at all?
Well, that's my point. The NFL is like all corporations. They want to see how docile their workforce really is.
They're testing the boundaries.
And that's how you do it.
And shouldn't the Players Association see that? If we can see this so clearly, shouldn't they be able to see that pretty clearly?
Well, who's to say they haven't?
Yeah, no, we don't know, to be fair. We don't know that they haven't. And I don't know if there's any... Would there be any value in making a statement quickly? I don't know. Ultimately, I think it's just about what is going to work. And look, the players might not be against the extra playoff game. I have no idea. But I think part of the problem here is also, like, I'm not sure the union has a really good sense of what players want. I'm not sure there is an answer to what players want, given the size of the union and how differing the views might be within that group.
And while I'll say this being very aware of the fact that it's not about what the fans want in any way, shape, or form, but it is striking to me that as fans that love NFL football, and I consider myself among those, it would only seem logical that we would want more football, right? More of something that you love is typically viewed as a good thing. But I think by and large, most fans, the hardcore football fans that I know, have been like, nah, we don't need 17 or 18 games, which I think kind of, it's an interesting conundrum that, you know, yeah, we should want more of something that we desire and love, but I think we all know that that comes at a price.
Oh, no. Football fans, more than any other sport, and I include baseball here, are afraid of change until it's forced on them, and then they go, oh, this is great. So right now, they think this is the worst thing ever until the NFL starts churning out these extra games, in which case, they'll watch them.
Oh, I'll watch them, just like I'll watch the third wild card games.
Yeah,
I'll watch it. I don't think it's a great idea because I'm aware of how it, you know, could affect the product that I'm watching. Because you get to a certain point of the season, half the team's on injured reserve. You're like, well, this is great. I'm watching Caleb Haney in the NFC title game. Sweet. You know, I don't need that in my life.
You'll watch it anyway.
I will, but I won't enjoy it as much.
They're
That's
not
for sure.
interested in your enjoyment. They're interested in your eyeballs.
I agree. But at some point, you run the risk of potentially diluting your product. And then if your product isn't the same standard that you've grown accustomed to, maybe at some point you begin to lose some of those eyeballs.
Maybe you do, but they don't seem to be concerned with that.
Well, obviously, because it's happening.
I still think, you know, in the long term, this all comes undone for a bunch of other reasons outside of television. But
what are those reasons?
Well, one, I think you have fewer and fewer kids across the country playing football.
I think that's the biggest one.
I think the insurance costs for those who do play football are going to continue to become prohibitive. And I think that ultimately people are going to find out that they can't solve the CTE thing. When you are able to find CTE in living people at a more at a greater rate than you do now, which is either none or almost none. When you start putting that disease to regular folks, I think people are going to start backing away. And they'll back away, you know, with their kids. They won't watch as much. They'll find reasons to do something else. But I think that's a long-term process. I don't think that's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's as much about the player pool as anything. You need guys to play, and it's not, it's the combination that Ray just mentioned of, on one hand, some parents will pull their kids out because they already know it's unsafe, and others will be, it will become cost prohibitive because of insurance costs, and that really squeezes the middle.
All right, we're going to be joined by Andrew Brandt in just a hot second, but in the meantime, welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.